Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Rambo. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Withallison out in the great state of Wisconsin. How are things going out there today, buddy?
Things are good. The Chris Middleton's returning for the Bucks tomorrow, which is huge, and the Bucks desperately need some kind of spark, so that'll be big for them. James Starks was released from the Packers. I know a lot of Packer fans wanted Starks gone many times this season, so he's now a free agent. The Milwaukee Bucks are getting in their own very own NBA D League team up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We're seeing my city I live in now was a finalist, but they decided to go with Oshkosh. And, Badger basketball team, I believe, is now a top five team in the country with all the losses of other top 10 teams over the weekend. So, things are looking up in Wisconsin, and it's time to move to the offseason for the Packers and try to talk about what free agents to bring back, which ones to let walk, and where the Packers need to look in the draft. And he finally makes a couple free agent signings. And that's going to be some conversations we're going to have, if not later this week, and probably in the next couple weeks, where we talk about what the Packers' offseason priorities should be. But today we get to talk some NBA. Carmelo Anthony, his name keeps popping up in different trades. Who's the best fit for Anthony? LeBron James is in the news again for things he's saying about members of the media. Is it time for him to just shut up? And T.O., he's in the news for being very critical of the NFL Hall of Fame, which came out, the newest members came out over the weekend. And the question is T.O., does he have a legit gripe with the Hall of Fame? So we're going to talk about that, as well as Leroy Butler. Is he getting fairly treated with when it comes to consideration with the NFL Hall? So kind of a jam-packed show. We're going to try to get all the topics in the next 28 minutes. But before we do that, how are things in Western PA?
Are going good, and if we got a lot to get into, I'll try to stay on point tonight. So not a whole lot going on. It was a nice day out here today, though, Evan. I know it was a little rainy this morning, but it turned out to be, man, almost like a spring day, and it's just unbelievable the way that these winters have just been crazy. I know Punxsutawney Phil saw a shadow last week, said six more weeks of winter, and I kind of joked. I'm like, is that six full weeks? Does that equal 42 days? Because I'm not sure if we've had six straight weeks of winter yet. And we've had spikes and lows and highs and no snow on the ground. And it's just been crazy. So, I mean, I'm not complaining. I don't even mind the rain right now in January. It's already February. I don't mind the rain because it went away and it turned out to be a nice 50-degree day. And that's, a heat wave in Western PA. So, nice weather. I like talking about the weather, but we got a jam-packed show. We'll get right to it. Evan, we might as well start off with Carmelo Anthony. He went to New York, and New York was supposed to try to put pieces around him to build a team that could compete in the East, and they're just not getting it done out there.
No, definitely not. The Knicks are struggling right now. Jeff Hornacek's first year as head coach. And, the Knicks are looking to move Anthony, and Anthony is the only player in the NBA with a complete and utter no-trade clause in his contract. He could veto a trade to anybody. It's basically up to him where he wants to go. And I know the Cavaliers have been mentioned, the Clippers have been mentioned, and, we're the best fit for Carmelo Anthony. And I honestly don't think Carmelo Anthony is a good fit in Cleveland. I don't think he offers Cleveland what they need. Carmelo Anthony's never been a great defender, and they could use some help defensively. There'd be a defensive wide, there'd be a downgrade with trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony, and that's saying a lot because Kevin Love is not a very good defender himself. So and they need point guard help. They need a backup point guard for Kyrie Irving. They lost that when Dellavedova left to go to Milwaukee during the offseason. They need a backup point guard to take some minutes from Kyrie Irving and somebody that can take some minutes from LeBron James and give him some rest down the stretch. That's what they need. And Carmelo Anthony doesn't offer that. He doesn't offer that. And I don't know if he'd be a good fit offensively. You know, he would be playing third fiddle. Would he be willing to play third fiddle? I think the Clippers is the best fit for him if he were to leave New York. I think they need a player. You had some injury issues in L.A. with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. They need something. They need a guy like Melo to help them with a playoff push. And I think the Clippers would be a great fit. Now, unfortunately for the Clippers and the Knicks, they have not been able to work out a new deal. But the Clippers currently sit at the fifth seed in the East at 31-21. I mean, in the West at 31-21, and they need. Like I said, they're going to need some. I think some help if they want to push for the playoffs, because they have to me one too many injuries. So, Carmelo Anthony, where is the best fit for him? Is it in L.A. or is it in Cleveland? Where do you think the best fit is?
No, it's definitely not Cleveland, Evan. You hit it right on the head. You kind of took where I was going to go with it. He needs to go to a team that needs a score, not a complete I'll take that back. But I don't believe that Carmelo Anthony is that complete player. You look at the game, yeah, he can put up massive points. He can get you some rebounds. But he's not going to be that grinded-out defender, that hard-nosed defender that's going to get you a big block, get you a big steal. I still remember LeBron James, you know, going, you know, coast to coast to block shot. And you're not going to get that from Carmelo Anthony. And I know, you know, you look at the scoring part of it, but to me, Evan, the teams that are in the playoff push, and you mentioned L.A., that would be a good fit. But these teams that are, like, near the top and making a push, does he stay in the East to try and beat a Cavalier team that, you know, people are getting on them saying, oh, my God, 15 losses. I mean, they're winning 70% of their games. I know they're not clicking, but there's also, when you look at it, there's still 30 games left to tune up for the postseason. Do they need to add a backup point guard? Yeah. Who would have thought Dellavedova would have been such a huge loss to Cleveland? But now it's looking like it is a pretty big loss. Remember, if you remember back, I scratched my head when he signed with the Bucks, Devin. I'm like, why did the Bucks sign him? You know, what does he bring to the table? But it's apparent, you know, he's not a superstar in Milwaukee by any means. But now it's apparent what he meant to Cleveland, to give some rest and to play some good basketball. And, yeah, the level drops maybe a little bit when he was in the game, but not too much. And you sometimes lose those role players, and we've talked about this a million times on the show. To win championships, you need role players. Heck, go to Sunday. What is James White? What was James White? Yes, he was a featured guy in that game, but really over his three-year career, he's a role player guy. He wasn't the go-to guy. He was a guy that went to work, went to practice, worked hard, earned the right to get the ball in his hand. And that's what you need to win championships. And I think that's what Dellavedova was. And now Cleveland missing that. So adding Carmelo Anthony, I think, adds a problem to Cleveland, actually, because they're going to have to give up stuff. See, that, and that's where when I look at this and I hear his name come up, okay, if he wants to win a ring, he's going to waive his trade. What are the Knicks going to want in return? I mean, what are they going to want back? They're not going to give away the farm for free, Evan. They're going to want quality back. They're going to want instant starter, not necessarily an all-star, but they're going to want a big piece of the puzzle. So now if you're a contender and you want Carmelo Anthony, who are you giving up for Carmelo Anthony, and how is that going to disrupt the chemistry that you have on your team right now? So I hear the name go out day after day and the teams come up, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if Carmelo Anthony is really a good fit anywhere, Evan, because of what's going to have to be given up to get him. Can they add a piece somewhere? But it's scoring. That's what it is. So I think you hit it on the head there. So that's my quick take on it. I'm not going to sit here and stomp my foot and say this is the perfect fit for Carmelo Anthony, because there's a lot of rolling and integral pieces that have to get put into place. And if I'm a contender, how much am I willing to give up to get Carmelo Anthony? That's the big question. And that's why I think you don't see more teams in the mix. I think that's why you see a limited number of teams looking at trying to deal for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, I guess he probably doesn't have a great fit really anywhere, like you were saying. I just think the Clippers would be the best fit if out of the team that he's been talked about. And from my understanding, the Knicks are pretty much asking for not much in return for a player of Carmelo Anthony's caliber, which to me was quite shocking, to be honest, that they were basically willing to almost, it seems like, give away Carmelo Anthony for free. So, but with that, moving on, other NBA talk, LeBron James in the news once again. We talked about LeBron last week or the week before over some comments he made towards Charles Barkley. And at the time we were talking, it's about time LeBron James stood up for himself. Well, LeBron James decided that he wanted to attack a member of the media once again. The New York Daily News published a report by Frank Osola claiming LeBron James is pushing Cleveland to trade for Carmelo Anthony, even if it meant sending Kevin Love to the Knicks. And here was LeBron James' reaction. It's trash. And the guy who wrote it is trash, too, for writing that, especially during the game like that. It's always about outside noise, and that's just outside noise for us. We've got to focus on what needs to be done in order for us to continue to compete for a championship. We've got who we've got. Our GM will do a great job of figuring out if we need something else, but right now we're in a good place. And here's my issue with this. It was like, 2 weeks ago, LeBron was whining and complaining about them not having enough pieces to compete for a championship. He was the one whining and complaining about it. He was the one making it an issue. Now, yesterday, he comes out again. We got to focus on what needs to be done in order for us to continue to compete for a championship. We've got who we've got. Our GM will do a great job of figuring out if we need something else. So how did it change from him saying the team needs to add some pieces to make a championship run to we've got who we've got? How did it change to that? To me, and I'm glad he stood up for himself against Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley is just the guy who likes taking shots at guys, it seems like. But this, to me, was stupid. You know, he shouldn't have commented on it at all. He should have just let it go, not commented on it, and not made a big deal out of it. Especially, you know, there's this thing called Google where we can backtrack and see what exactly LeBron James said just 2 weeks ago. So he's kind of making himself sound like a bit of a hypocrite here, in my opinion. So I believe that he just needs to shut up. So what are your thoughts on what should be your thoughts on LeBron James and his latest comments?
Yeah, like you said, Evan, it's, you know, the Charles Barkley thing, you and I both defended LeBron James. We talked about two bullies pounding their chest at each other, and sometimes you just got to stand up for yourself. That's great. This time LeBron James became the bully. And it was really unnecessary, but, you know, at the end of the day, you now make a comment that, our GM will do his job. Well, you were just criticizing him a couple weeks ago. So maybe there was a heart-to-heart talk in behind closed doors. but you know, this is my beef, Evan. The media is going to do what the media does. You and I do it. We talk. We try not to speculate. We try to base our opinions off facts. And if it's fact that he was pushing for Carmelo Anthony, well, then he was. And so, you know, for him to actually attack a reporter, though, and call him trash, that is not good media relations, but it's the context of what he's saying now. It's like he retracted statement. And if he would have made this statement, Evan, 2 weeks ago, Charles Barkley would have never said anything. Probably not. And so it's like, where are you going with this, LeBron James? I mean, you talk about distractions and focusing. Well, LeBron James isn't having a bad year by any means, Evan. I mean, averaging not nearly a double-double. I think like 26 points, I think 9 rebounds a game. The Cavaliers are 35-15, but people are saying, what's wrong with the Cavaliers when they lose 2 in a row? I mean, come on, there's still 30 games left, 30-plus games. And do they need to add some pieces? Certainly. But LeBron James, if he's talking about distractions, well, then he – I know he's the air-quoting team leader, the guy they look up to. So now he's having the corporate front. That's how I read into this. The united front that, hey, we can't have you sputting off at the mouth. What do you want us to do? Blah, blah, blah. All that good stuff that goes in when you have a disgruntled all-star. And, you know, but it's just now you went to one side of the spectrum a couple weeks ago. Now you're on the other side. You look at it, and I just shake my head. And, you know, I think you put it the best, Evan, and I even told you before the show. Should LeBron James just shut up and play basketball? Yes, he should. Shut the hell up and play basketball. Make your comments quick, short, sweet, to the point. Almost Bill Belichick-like, Evan. Just don't give anything away. Just kind of compliment everything else that goes along. Be stoic about it. But if you want to talk about no distractions, you're causing distraction, and especially not even by the comment, but by contradicting a comment you made 2 weeks ago. So now, you know, Evan, the media is going to roll with this like you and I are tonight. They're going to go, well, what the hell is going on in Cleveland now? And so this is going to be another week until something else comes up, until something big and better. So you want to talk about distractions. If he didn't want distractions, he shouldn't have said anything about the article. Maybe a quick comment like, hey, yeah, you know what? Having Melo with me would be great. That would be awesome. Blah, blah. He didn't have to expand on it. And I think sometimes, Evan, these athletes, they get so, I guess, worked up and maybe so sold on their opinion that they want to talk. And sometimes they talk off the cuff and they don't think before they talk. Kind of the old adage with social media, read before you hit send, but you don't have time when you're in an interview. And it's hard for the mind to process that sometimes. But I don't think he should have said the second half of what he said. I don't think he should have even attack the reporter. If you would have made a quick comment about Carmelo saying, yeah, it would be a great fit with me. You know, you and I don't agree with it, but if that's what he thought, then he could have said that and let it be at that. But he decided to go on about the situation. That's where I have a problem with it. So that's my thought on LeBron James.
Yeah. And you know, he just needs to basically shut up. So, moving on, NFL Hall of Fame, the 2017 Hall of Fame class was announced. And we got making the Hall of Fame, we got Kurt Warner, we got Morton Anderson, we got Terrell Davis, we got Kenny Easley, he's the veterans pick, we got Jerry Jones, and then we got first-time ballot Jason Taylor and Damian Tomlinson making the Hall of Fame. Terrell Owens bypassed for the Hall of Fame. And Terrell Owens kind of threw a little bit of a fit the other day, basically calling the Hall of Fame a joke, that he's not in it. He didn't make it last year. He didn't make it this year. So he's 0-for-2 in trying to get in the Hall of Fame. And I know wide receiver is a very tough position to get in on a first ballot Hall of Fame. It's a very tough position to get in for his ballot because there's a lot of receivers out there. But I think Terrell Owens should have probably got in this year. You know, was Terrell Davis really a Hall of Fame player? In my opinion, no. Kurt Warner, was he really a Hall of Famer? I would say borderline. But Damian Tomlinson and Jason Taylor, to me, were the only real no-brainers in this Hall of Fame class. And I think Jason Taylor is a bit of a stretch as well. But I think those two are really the only, if you could point to a no-brainer, and Tomlinson being the definite no-brainer. You know, but Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis, Warren Anderson, you know, did any of those guys really need to make the Hall of Fame this year? I get Kenny Easley, the Veterans Committee pick, so I can't really criticize that one, except that it should be Gary Kramer in the spot. But we're not going to get into that in this show. But Terrell Davis, I think, has a legit beef with not getting in the Hall of Fame. Look at his career numbers. He has 1,078 career catches. He has 15,934 career yards and 153 career touchdowns. He is one of the top statistical wide receivers in a number of different categories. To me, he is a Hall of Famer, but the reason why he's not getting in the Hall of Fame is that the Hall of Fame is voted on by the media, the same media that Terrell Owens did not really have a good relationship with. So to me, seeing Terrell Owens not in the Hall of Fame, Troy, to me, is the media basically holding a grudge. They're holding a grudge against him. And yes, he had some time that he disrupted teams. But, you know, Peter King's trying to, I guess, talk about that his issue is he's played on so many teams throughout his career. Well, yeah, I guess that does probably play a little bit of a role in it. But look at his numbers. Like, his numbers speak for themselves. And it's ridiculous that he's not in the Hall of Fame. So what are your thoughts, T.O.? Does he have legit beef, especially looking at this year's Hall of Fame class, that he did not get in?
Yeah, he's got a beef, but he's got to keep his mouth shut like LeBron James. He's just going to hurt his case. And like you said, the problem, and I hate to say that that's why, but you and I both know the media votes on this, and Terrell Owens was a media nightmare sometimes, basically mocking them and doing things. And, you know, but when you look at pure numbers, and to me, you know, the Hall of Fame, you're looking at it, to be honest, Evan, at this point, though, I heard this comment getting watered down at points, and it might be. And I'm actually laughing this year because I don't think Jerry Jones deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. You talked about some other guys. Kurt Warner, he had a great little run. But when I think of Hall of Fame, and I guess maybe I'm old school, but I'm thinking of guys in the Hall of Fame that made an impact on the sport of football at their position and did something not necessarily to change the game. Those guys definitely are always in the Hall. But somebody that consistently was a player that really changed the dynamic of his position or was the best at his position. And when you look at Terrell Owens, like you said, Evan, some off-the-field media stuff, distractions with a number of teams. But when you look at the talent on the field, teams wanted him. They didn't want the distraction, but they would have wanted Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner, like you said, okay, greatest show on turf, but he only had a little brief run. He didn't do it for a longevity of a career. Heck, how many he got cut from teams? And then, I mean, the story is great. But does that make him a Hall of Famer? And I do. I think he had a great little run there at the end of his career. But he didn't do it for the longevity. He didn't do it for the long haul. And some people will argue, well, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, you know what? Those guys were on top of their game when they left. Kurt Warner, it took him years to get on top of his game. And he ended on a high note, which is fine. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't deserve to be there. I just, when I look at the players that they're looking on and voting on now, there might be some relevance to the comment I heard that is the Hall of Fame starting to get watered down. And it very well might be. Look at this year's class. I'm not overly impressed. I'm happy for LT with Ladainian Tomlinson. I love that guy. I loved watching him run. He was a heck of a back. And Jason Taylor, yes, he was a guy. And just what I was talking about, where is he on the field? You had to know where he was every play because he just could disrupt the game. And LT could break a run at any time and change the momentum of a game. To me, those are Hall of Famers. And they did it throughout the course of their career, had long, successful careers. So I want to get your thoughts. Jerry Jones, Hall of Fame, Evan. How do you feel about that?
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer at all. And if you're going to put him in the Hall of Fame, why do you got to put him now? Like, why does he have to go in now? He's the current owner of the Cowboys, and I get, you know, the owners don't fall under the same requirements as the players needing to be retired for 5 years or whatever it is. But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. And now the other guy I want to bring up, looking at the time, and I want to make sure we get this in because, you know, Pete Doldry, whatever, of the Green Bay Press Gazette has kind of been pushing this. And, you know, and I saw this mentioned, and I hope that ends up not being the case. Both these wrongs are righted, but is Leroy Butler being Kramer? And that's a reference to Jerry Kramer being left out of the Hall of Fame for really no good reason. Everyone, you know, for Kramer comes up with the reason on why they feel he's being left out, but nobody can say for definite why. And that's what's falling under Leroy Butler right now, is he's a Hall of Famer. He should be in the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. But yet he keeps getting bypassed over and over again. You know, he, to me, had better, if not equal numbers of John Lynch and Brian Dawkins, Steve Atwater. He deserves to be in over those guys. Now, he didn't have the longevity that those guys had because he had ended up having a shoulder injury in 2001 that pretty much ended his career. But he should be in the Hall of Fame. He really should. And to me, it's a travesty that he's not in the Hall of Fame. You know, he looked at, you know, his resume speaks for itself. And this is just one thing I hope the committee gets right before it turns into another Jerry Kramer, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. So that's my take on Leroy Butler. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think it's a joke that he's not in, just like it's a joke that Jerry Kramer is not in. So Leroy Butler, is it a joke that he's not in, or does he deserve to be in? You there?
Oh, yeah, well, I'll tell you this, Evan. Being a Packer follower, I know the impact that Leroy Butler had to win Super Bowls and to turn that team around and be part of that good run. The problem you have, and I think it might go back to what I was saying about at least my criteria, you look at the guys that are in ahead of him, and that's one of those tough positions to get into the Hall of Fame, because when you look at it, I'll put it this way, Evan, Leroy Butler was just such a sound player. And what I mean by sound player is, he was an unselfish player who played within the scheme and did his job play in and play out. And to me, yeah, he should at some point deserve a place in camp. I'm not sure if he's going to get in heaven. I just say that seeing, you know, the voting and the way that it goes, but Butler was never a headline guy. You know, Butler was a guy that he was, in my mind, he was the glue to that defense. Everybody talks about, you know, the Reggie Whites and the defensive backs they had. But with Butler there, he was the guy that kept that defense together. But I don't know if national media saw that. if that makes any sense to you. You know, these other guys were always talked about and always talked about. When did Leroy Butler have national attention on himself? Hardly ever. But when if you're in that bubble of Wisconsin and a Green Bay Packer fan, you know how much you meant to the Packers and to the game. But I'm just not sure, Evan, if it's across the country. And that could hurt him getting into the Hall of Fame. So hopefully that made sense to you.
Yeah, it did. Really, the only difference between John Lynch and Leroy Butler is John Lynch was working for Fox before he became, for whatever reason, the general manager of the 49ers. He's working for Fox nationally, and Leroy Butler is working for a sports talk local station in Milwaukee. And I think if he was working for a national market, a bigger market as a sports talk guy, he probably would be getting more of a shot at the Hall of Fame. But you know, with that said, we are out of time. We're in archive time now, so I'm gonna throw it back to you to wrap things up and let our listeners go.
Yeah, another great show. Time goes fast. You know, this is a great, you know, I think it's a great time of the year, Evan. So much that we can talk about on every show. Don't have to just focus, you know, on the NFL, which was king. We like talking about the NFL, don't get me wrong. But what that means, Evan, is that we need some fan interaction. So find us on Twitter, at Red Light Sports, at Evan with Sports, at Troy Robert 967. So you got three places to find us. And then if you're listening archive, try to join us live, 11 o'clock. Give us a call. We would love to have you on the show. So write this number down if you're listening archive, 646-564-9948. Call the show. Chat with us. It's been a while since we've had a caller, Evan. I'd love to have a caller on the show to chat about some sports. Let us know your thoughts. I still remember, and I know we're in archive time, but do you remember we were doing a show, geez, this was maybe well over a year ago, and we had somebody call in about MMA. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was great. Just caught us off guard.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I want to see that again. So, again, if you're listening in, 646-564-9948, give us a call. We'll chat about anything. And if I don't know, I'll say, hey, I don't know. You're talking over my head, so keep talking. But another great show. For Evan with Allison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.